That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Morning. Believe it or not, it has rolled around again. It is Saturday morning, November 22nd. Only got one more this Saturday and one more in this month, and then we'll move on to the next month, the good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, so to speak. Maybe if the wind don't blow us away. Well, good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John. How are you today?
Good morning. Abundantly blessed.
Amen. Amen. Aren't we all? Kyle and I were just talking there as the song was playing about how beautiful it is outside and a little windy. And when you say that here, that you know, 40-mile-an-hour gusts and climbing to 50 or 60 today. But beautiful morning, overcast, and God just...
You just made it worse. You mentioned the name wind.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, you can't help but mention it if you've been around since about midnight, because it has sure been blowing. Whether we mention it or not, but
all the snow though,
a good bit of it has. We hit about 40 degrees yesterday, and I think we're supposed to hit about 43 today. Maybe
I think so, yeah.
Lunchtime or so. So that's all right though. That moisture, what of it can goes in the ground, and we're sure thankful for that. And
we're supposed to get to about 50 today. So
and more snow tonight.
Planning on trying to finish up the horse corrals over there at Bruce Ford's place. So,
oh yeah, willing. All right. Well, best of luck with that, and we welcome you, the Remnant. This is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll open the phone lines up in a few minutes, and it's a program our pastor put together to meet on Saturday morning, have coffee, and have our Bibles, and just talk about what was on our mind, take phone calls. And I sure like it now, starting at 7 o'clock. Mountain time versus when it used to start at 5 o'clock Mountain time.
We can change that if you want.
Yeah, yeah. It makes for a little more reasonable Friday night, I guess. Saturday morning sleep. But well, John,
gives you a long day.
That's right. If you want to open us up in prayer, and then we'll just kind of go from there.
Sure. Oh, gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, King of kings and Lord of lords, God of gods, Lord, we come before you in spirit of humility this morning, seeking to do your will. That's our request, Lord, that you would guide and direct us, grant us wisdom and understanding, that you give us the words and the stories and the scriptures that you want your people to hear. And Lord, your word is clear as well, that when two or more gathered in your name, then you're there also. There's more than two of us gathered here this morning, Lord. We just ask that you would join us as well and bring your myriads of angels. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest. Lord, we, as we see this, things of the world deteriorating around us, just ask that you would strengthen us. Lord, give us the faith that we need, the faith of a mustard seed, to overcome all of these obstacles. Lord, even now, our prayer is for those that can to come to repentance. But those that can't, those wicked tares, those sons of the devil that seek to cause destruction, that seek nothing but to turn your people away from you, Lord, we ask that you would bring their plans down upon their head 100-fold or whatever you see fit, especially there in what's going on in Missouri, Lord. We pray for our people out there. Those are your people. That is the Bible Belt, Lord. And it's the aliens that have come in amongst them, seeking to cause discourse and division. Lord, I pray that you would thwart their plans even now, or that you'd bring it down upon their heads, that they'd fall in the traps that they lay, and they'd fall in the pits that they dig. Pray that your Holy Spirit would be present there, that you would pray a hedge of angels and a ring of fire and a shield of light around those that are yours. Protect them, but not one hair on their head would be harmed, just as your word says. Pray for even tomorrow, Lord, that your Spirit would work in your people's hearts ahead of time, that you would soften our hearts that the world tries to harden all week long. Grant a special anointing on those that are speaking. Prepare your people's hearts for communion. Forgive us, Lord, for the sins we know about and the ones that we don't. And forgive us for falling asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel and letting it get this bad. Lord, we do cry out to you, just as your people of old. There is nothing new under the sun. We ask that you remember grace and mercy in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. It's through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray all these things, and we thank you for them ahead of time. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, Mr. Kyle?
Good morning.
Good morning.
A lot of deer out this morning. Probably seen 25 deer and 1,000 antelope on the way here. Of course, the antelope.
Wow.
Probably not 1,000 antelope, but man, there seems like there's more now than ever since I've been out here.
They herd up. Yep. They've herded up.
And the bucks seem to be out in force.
You know, it seemed like a good year everywhere. Yeah. Solutions men, Doug, last night mentioned a lot of bucks out in his area. And talking to Tim, same thing. When I talked to Tim after the program, seems like the deer are abundant. And
where's the elk? That's what I want to know.
There was five bull elk. You know where that guy has sheep down there on 287? You know, there was five bull elk the other night on my way home from
there. Oh, that big meadow?
Wow.
There was a couple guys pulled over glassing them, you know, but I mean, they were all branch antlers. You could see that from the highway, but yeah. I don't know if they were down there avoiding the hunters or what they were doing, but it looked pretty
nice. Every time I go elk hunting, it turns into a hiking with guns affair.
Yeah, or a search and rescue or something, huh?
Yeah, pretty close that one time.
That's all right, though. That's, you know, they, if you want to go shooting, go to the trap range. If you want to go hunting, you know, they're two different things. Two different things. You know, so many times we have it in our mind that, yeah, we're going to go out and sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't. That's just how that is. So,
well, it don't help when you pull up in a diesel because you probably scare them away for about 100 miles.
Yeah, probably.
They definitely can hear you coming.
They can.
I think to get an elk, you got to pretty much set up a camp and get them used to your scent and horseback or whatever.
That helps. That helps. That does.
But I guess this isn't the outdoor show, so we've...
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Well, we can open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913. Had a, I think, an interesting week of broadcasts. If you listen to Kyle on Tuesday night, he kind of got back to the fear of God and talking about the fire and brimstone that the Bible talks about a pretty good bit. And on the Wednesday night prayer meeting, had just a full night of prayers and praise reports, and you know, had praise reports that well, Patricia's mom doesn't have MS.
Yeah,
isn't that
awesome?
About that, praise the Lord, and many other praise reports and prayer requests. And you know, praying for our people is one of the things we are to do. It's one of the deeds that we are to do. One of the good works. And it's not all for them. You know, we certainly get blessings when we pray, when we do those good works that we are told and commanded to do. And we're blessed when we do it. Got to talk a little bit Thursday night about those that do not know him. And there's many out there of his people that just don't know him. And, you know, it's our job to do our best to introduce him to them and continuing to spread the gospel and to pray that they're called to his purpose. And then last night, the Solutions Men had some interesting articles. One of the things they mentioned, you know, was the problem in our land is sin. It's sin in the land. And, you know.
I mean, I'm holding up the Bible here, and it's like, yeah. I mean, from the get-go to the end, the problem in the land has always been sin.
Right. But yeah.
Which is what? Transgression of God's
law. Right. But you know, and none of us this week. And then Tim and I got a chance to talk to last night a little bit about, you know, when we work, we're no matter what we're doing, we're to work as unto the Lord, and give it 110% and all that. But you know, I think if you looking back now, not that any of us coordinate what we're going to talk about during the week, but it is. It's the sin in the land is the problem in the land. But the people, his people, they don't know who they are. Their eyes are blinded. And many times it's because God himself blinds their eyes and plugs up their ears because of their sin. And so they don't have, as Kyle talked about Tuesday night, they don't have that fear of God. You know, and you can use whatever word you want there. Honor, respect. You know, we have a wood stove. And our children, they honor and fear that wood stove. Because they know if they touch it, they'll get burnt. And they know that. But why do they know that? Well, one, because they've been taught it from an early age. And our people, for the most part, well, the enemy has taken that teaching out of the homes, out of the schools, out of the workplace. And so the teaching that God is the creator, and out of the churches. Yes, out of the churches. And so the teachings of the scriptures that have been there for generations in our people, part of our culture, well, that's been removed. And so the fear of the Lord is not there. Well, there goes wisdom and knowledge out the window. And then if they're not honoring God and seeing, you know, looking at what his word says, what's right, what's wrong, what's sin, what's not, well, then it's anything goes. That's right where we're at today. And, you know, God doesn't sit idly by. when it's he that has provided all the blessings, created everything in the first place, and then provided all the blessings, even to the point of sending his only begotten son to die the most wretched death there is on a cross, to redeem his people, to claim his people back out of that dominion of darkness. And the people are just more interested on if Budweiser's on sale this week. His word, I read Thursday night, he says, shall I not avenge a people as this? Shall I not, you know, have my revenge on them? And, you know, but the people, they just don't know. So many of them don't.
They're not told.
They're not. You know,
and they don't want to know.
They don't. Yeah. Wednesday night.
You know, it's interesting and encouraging, though, is this week we had a meeting of the board I'm on with the Christian school, and a couple of men in that I've been on that board with for 8 years from the start of the thing. When I first joined that board, they thought I was from another planet, the way I prayed with authority and faith. And just this week, two of these men who were instrumental in, one in starting up a Baptist church and one in starting up a covenantal church, they left their churches. And I, you know, it kind of surprised me because these guys were, I mean, diehard. They loved their church and they built it and this and that. And they basically just said it's getting too much like the Church of Laodicea. And I tell you what, that was encouraging.
It is. And the biggest thing there is they're not leaving Christ.
No. Uh-uh.
They're leaving their church building. You know what I mean?
Right.
Too many people get hung up on the building, you know. You serve Christ wherever you can. Sometimes, you know, you might have to just be by yourself looking straight ahead. You know what I mean? Because all those around you ain't serving him. Even though they might say they're Christians.
Right.
They might go to this building that they worship, you know, the building more than they do the Father.
Right.
But yeah, it's great. They didn't leave the body of Christ, the church, but they left their building. You know, and that's...
I like what you said. They're to, you know, they're to serve Christ. Sometimes it may just be you, versus being part of a physical church body. But, you know, we are to serve Christ in everything. We're to serve Christ in right here.
In the way we go to work. Yeah. Work as you work unto the Lord. You know, I mean, too many times you go to work and you're like not in a good mood and you're not really working like you're working to the Lord.
No.
You know, you're just kind of going through the motions because, I guess, because of your flesh. But, I mean, when you look at it that way, when you get up in the morning and you look, okay, I got to work today like I'm working for Christ. I mean, there's a whole different perspective there.
It is.
Well, it's contentment. Without contentment, God can't move you on to the next phase. You know, if you're not content where he has you right now, then why would he reward you and move you on to the next phase? Right?
Godliness with contentment.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely it is. His word tells us, you know, you're supposed to be, you're going to judge angels one day, and you're still taking each other to court. You know? And you know it's just a, what they call it, a face plant, that he a hand palm to his head going, when are you going to learn, people? When are you going to learn? If you can't handle the little things, I'm not going to give you the big things. I was thinking, John, and the thought occurred to me anyway, that, you know, how do we stand against the massive hordes if they come against us in the flesh? You know, how do we stand against a rioting crowd? Or, you know, how do we get through the big things? And it's when we're faithful in the little things. When we love our neighbors, ourselves, in our life, when we work, no matter what we're doing, as Kyle said, we work unto the Lord. When we take care of the little things, you know, you look back to King David's life when he was but a boy. How was he able to face Goliath? Because he took care of the little things. He was faithful in the little things. You know, when God gave him the most mundane task in the world, watching sheep. You know what you do when you watch sheep? Because your sheepdog's out there taking care of everything. This is what you do. And you just sit there for the most part. Now,
but he was content.
He was content. and he was faithful in it. He watched his sheep. He looked, and when the enemy came against, when the wolf came, he was right there on it. He was David on the spot. When the bear came or the lion, whatever it was, he took care of it. You know, and you know, you think about that time in his life. Think about back being 14, 15, 16. Man, you're wanting to go, right? And the brothers are off at war, and they're fighting, and they're sending word back about what's going on, and, oh, Dad, I want to be with them. But he overcame that flesh, and he was content, as you said, John, in sitting out there, practicing with a slingshot. Every now and then get to kill a bear or a wolf or something, you know, so that was kind of neat. But not enough of them, you know, because you kill one, and about the time you come down off that high, you want to go get another one. And there wasn't another one to be found. And he was content.
Exactly.
And God was using him for greater things, preparing him.
You think about Mary, right? She's, what, pretty close to 9 months pregnant. And Joseph throws her up on a camel. This is an illustration I heard in another sermon somewhere, I can't remember. But anyways, so did you hear her complaining that, well, Joseph, why didn't you make hotel reservations? Couldn't you get me a nicer, softer ride, you know? This is the Son of God. Why doesn't he have a wardrobe? Of, you know what I'm saying? That's humility and that's contentment. And I think it's a great example, as well as the David.
Yeah, we have those examples. We do. That, you know, no matter what, and it's not that you're content and so you just kick up your feet and say, well, I'm not going anywhere. I've got nothing better to do. No, you know, life's a journey. You just be content where God has you right then.
It's godliness with contentment that is great gain.
Yes.
One without the other is, you know, not as productive, not as
right.
Not as prosperous, you know. But godliness with contentment, that means to be a godly person, you have to obey God. I mean, that's...
And you know, many times we hear from the remnant, well, what do we do? What, now what? The hordes are coming across the southern border. The blacks are fixing to riot all over the country. You know, taxes are going up. Everything. What are we to do? We're to have godliness with contentment. Now, we are to sigh and to groan and to cry out at the abominations in the land. But, you know... we're not all the Isaiahs and Jeremiahs that are sent throughout the land just to, you know, to cry out these laments.
We might be all.
We might.
And that day might come where God calls us to the front lines.
To do that.
You know?
Right.
Yep.
But, you know, what would it be now? We are to obey the word. We're to be content in where we're at. We are to exhort and stimulate one another to what?
Love and good deeds. And get prepared. Be alert and prepare others. Like
right.
John said, the watchman fell down. You know what I mean? But they need to get back up.
Amen to that. Be on the alert. Be strong.
So you talked about...
act ye like men.
You talked about those that don't know God Thursday night?
Did you a little bit.
Did you read 1 Thessalonians 6:8 where it says, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus.
You know, if I didn't, I should have.
Because too many times we excuse those who do not know God. But really, the fact of the matter is most of them have chose not to know God. They've chose to ignore. Like, I remember you read it on a scriptural review of the news not too long ago about in Romans 1, of course, that deals with the homosexuals, but they choose to not see the obvious that's going around, and that there is a God, and it is obvious. You know, you have to stick your head in the ground to not see that there's a God. Whether it's through, like we talked about, Patricia's mom not having MS or whatever. I mean, or if it's just looking at these mountains out here. Or if you're a father of 9 children. I mean, it took you about 1 children to realize God was involved in that, didn't it?
Or of one. Amen.
You know, I mean, so those that do not know God, basically it's those that are choosing not to know God.
Yeah. Doesn't the Word tell us that his invisible attributes
have been
there since the beginning of time? And those that say they don't know him or don't believe in him, they choose. That is a choice for many of them. It really is. Our enemy does a good job of keeping so much in front of us, so many things to do, that, it's not all that hard. I'm just so busy. I got so much going on.
Our
prayers, hopefully, eventually you realize that's just an excuse.
Got a message here. It says, call in line, not working on my side.
Well, let's give the number out, 307-745-5913. And I thought I saw it flash earlier, but couldn't get over there. But we've got the buttons pushed, so we'll sure give it a try. You know, you were in 1 Thessalonians right there at the end of chapter 5, 14. It says, we urge you, brethren. Well, right before it, it says, live in peace with one another. Now, that's talking to me and you.
Absolutely.
That's talking to me and you. I might not be able to live at peace with that so-you-know-what down the road. I may try to plant a seed and be as neighborly as I can to him, and hopefully I can live in peace with him. But among the brethren, it says, live in peace with one another. Verse 14 says, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. You know, I got to send a text the other day that said, patience is a virtue. And I got a reply back that said, I'm working on it. Something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, it is. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Aren't we all? Lord, give me more patience. Verse 15 says, see that no one repays another with evil for evil. And so when it says, see that no one, that means when you see somebody repay evil with evil, admonish them on it. You know, I know we do that with the children. That's a full-time job. You know, you pull one aside and it's like, listen, you know, a kind answer turns away wrath. And this may seem super simple stuff, but you know what, Remnant? We ain't doing it enough.
I mean, you're way better to suffer for doing good than doing evil.
You know, Tim and I talked about that very thing last night. He had a really good scripture here. And I see the phone ringing, so we'll get right over there to it. And it was, we'll get to the phone line. We'll come back to that. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys. This is George. I guess I finally got through. So.
Hey, George. How you doing? Let me pour you a cup here. We got a fresh pot on, and we appreciate you joining us for coffee.
I appreciate you having me. I got a comment to make. I was listening to a local Christian radio show the other day on the radio on my way to work.
And we forgive you.
Yeah, the Bible says you are to confess your sins to one another. And
I know.
So
I know. But they actually had a good. It had some good music on it and stuff. And but they come on and made a comment that there was a anniversary. I think it's in January of that Roe versus Wade hearing, and the group that's fighting against it, the pro-life group, is wanting to, I think it's January in the 22nd or 23rd or 26th and 27th or something. I can't remember what date it is exactly, but they're wanting the national day to where people take off 2 days of work and stay at home and pray and fast and for forgiveness of this plan, for basically allowing this in the nation. And I thought that was pretty interesting and profound, and I didn't think that it's going to be something spoken of on the mainstream media, so I didn't know if any of you guys have heard anything about that or...
No, but that'd be great. Why don't you send in a link to that or something to Richard? We can sure... I mean, there's no reason our people wouldn't do the same.
I wouldn't think so, but as far as a link goes, I don't know anything about like what internet or I can give you a little bit of information as far as where I've heard it from. So that's about
okay. Yeah, we can
about
find
all
out.
I can
I'm
do.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll take a look and see what we can find on that.
Okay. All right. Well, other than that, hope everybody's doing fine over there. The weather is pretty pleasant this way, so just a little bit kind of rainy, but it's beautiful outside. The weather is not too freezing, and everything seems to be good. So.
Great.
You guys have a good rest of the day.
You too.
Thank you.
Well, phone's working, 307-745-5913.
That's encouraging. People are waking up. They know that we're going to pay for that innocent blood that's been shed.
That's for sure.
Did you guys see that story in Clark County, Illinois? A couple of veterans put the entire city council under citizen's arrest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They basically started this website, a watchdog group, and started identifying all of these politicians, local politicians, that were corrupt. And, in fact, let's see, so far they've driven 102 public officials to resign from their posts, including 33 officials in Edgar County. But I just thought that...
How many had to resign? Or resigned?
Well, that was what... In 33 in that, yeah, 33 in that one county.
Huh. Yeah.
And that lets you know, yeah, just how corrupt the government is.
Listen to this.
State, local, county.
This city council had accumulated over $79 million in debt, all the while serving only 18,000 residents. And wow. You can bet a lot of that debt was in surveillance cameras and... Mm-hmm.
You can bet, John, a lot of that debt went to this account and that account and this new car and that new car.
Their winter home in Florida.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can be guaranteed of that.
But, you know, that's a it's a good idea, I believe. If you can get this corruption exposed, it's going to have to start in the ground roots.
So who replaced
area.
Them?
What's that?
Who replaced
yeah,
the...
Yeah, really. That's a good question. I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting story.
That is interesting.
Finally, right? A couple of ex-vets just got tired of it and broke into the city council meeting, I guess, and put them under citizen's arrest. I don't know where it ended up from there, but...
Yeah, the those that get in those positions of authority, city council... county commissioners, you know, even on the local level, so many of them, everybody knows of the corruption that goes on, or some of it anyway, on the higher levels, you know, state representatives and U.S. senators and the like. But you know, you see it on the small town level, like you're talking about, John, and. Sometimes out there, the people finally just put their tongue to the top of their mouth and say, I've had enough, and they just say, no, like, no more. And I think that is interesting because it just takes a couple, one or two,
yeah,
to stand up to it. And it can have great effects. You know, this country used to be great because, you know, even just generations ago, when we still had city commissioners, county commissioners, and that type of stuff, but for the most part, they were men of upright character. You know, they might not have been professing Christians, but boy, they lived by Christian principles, and that's what the nation was founded on. And you just don't see it anymore.
The board had called the sheriff to arrest these two. Veterans, and apparently the sheriff arrested six of the seven board members. The seventh board member had not voted
or had voted against the other members on the issue that was against the law, apparently. So there you go, too. That's actually a sheriff upholding the law. People don't realize how much authority, at least in man's world, that the sheriff has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, your police chiefs are appointed, usually by your city commissioner or your mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your highway patrol, who whatever, they're all appointed positions. They don't run for office. But the sheriff runs for office. I know the sheriff out here in Laramie. He's been around here for a long time, been in law enforcement, and we've met him a couple times on good, well, bad circumstances, but not what you might think. And he's always treated us fair. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him in different parts of the county doing different things. And you know, the sheriff, the local sheriff, still runs for office. Now, I know that gets into the election and everything else, but, you know, they kind of still do the baby-kissing politicking type thing, you know. And you're right. There is a, you know, there's that amount of local control. You know, if it's controlled by a corrupt, you know, a small corrupt group in the county, well, that's a different matter, but... it is encouraging, that story, John, that news report, you know, law is law. And you know, most of what we see today is lawlessness. It is encouraging when you see somebody standing up for law and, true law and order.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
we talked... We talked last week about that Muslim service in
the National
Cathedral. Yeah, but I read a story this week that says Friday was Muslim Day in Washington, D.C. We have no idea why or how, but Muslim imams and prayers were everywhere, invading the Christian National Cathedral and floor of Congress. And then... apparently, what most people don't realize is the most stunning event occurred just after lunch when Speaker of the House, John Boehner, who's a Roman Catholic, by the way, imagine that, permitted a Muslim Brotherhood-linked imam with suspected ties to terrorists to give the invocation, opening prayer to the day's business in the House, praying in the name of Allah, and they all bowed their heads and prayed with him.
Storing up wrath for themselves.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like when people say, well, we've heard about the last days for hundreds of years or whatever. And I said, yeah, but guess what? You didn't have the abominations going on that you do now. You did not have this push for homosexuality and same-sex marriage.
Yeah. You know?
I don't understand that logic. I mean, okay, God says, all right, I'm going to put a number of years on man, 120 years. So let's say, man, let's say you can even live to be 120, which not very many do. But it's going to be the last days as soon as you take your last breath. Because, boom, it's going to be like that, and Judgment Day is there. So, I mean, so yeah, the Christian world has been, the Bible-believing Christian world, have been talking about the last days for 2,000 years. I get that. But don't people understand that whether they're alive in that last day or not, the most they're going to get out of this life is 120 years.
Yeah,
that's right. The most. That's the best. And then comes judgment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it is everybody's. It's been everybody's last days for 2,000 years. I mean, so that logic of, yeah, they've been saying that, you know, they've been crying wolf for, it's going to happen. And yesterday morning, on my way down to Fort Collins, 287 is the highway between Colorado and Wyoming here, between Fort Collins and Laramie. And on the, I guess it would be the northbound lanes, as I'm going south, there's four trooper cars, maybe five, two sheriff's trucks, and a semi-truck basically on top of a little white sedan car. They had a blanket over the driver's side door and window. And they're all, nobody's doing anything but standing around, and told Richard about it yesterday, and he's probably saying, well, they're probably waiting on the corner.
They were just waiting on the corner.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that guy or woman, whoever was in that sedan, no matter whose fault it was, driving the truck drivers or the car or whatever, guess what? Death happened. And guess what's next? The judgment. You know, the last, it is the last day
yes.
for that person. So, I mean, as we can see all these abominations and all these basically living in Sodom, you know, probably worse, I don't know. But anyway, it is, I mean, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare yourself. It's here. You know what I mean?
It is.
Anyway, I know the phone's ringing, so. Or is it not?
Good point. It is. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Anthony from New Jersey. How are you doing today?
Doing good, Anthony. Did you get any of that lake effect snow, or are you too far away from that?
Yeah, we're too far south for that, but they got hammered up there for sure, those guys, though. I tell you, amazing. I wanted to say, yeah, the last days, we're in the last days now at this point in time. You know, after Christ came, now we're starting to turn away, or not us, but people on a whole are starting to turn away from Christ, the last and only covenant he made with us. And as the world falls away from that last hurrah, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, they turn away from the way, the truth, and the life, as we're doing, as we see our country, witnessing our country falling away in all the corruption. I mean, that's it. There's not going to be like a revival or, I mean, this is the real deal here. That's why today and these days, the last days that are coming, are the real ones. Like, even if we were 100 years ago, the urgency of knowing and getting yourself right with God should still be there. And that's a lot of why God, you know, well, we've been talking about the last days, yeah, and maybe tomorrow could be our last day, God forbid, or God's will. But we should still be right. Because if we knew God was coming in 10 years, we'd say, okay, I got some time to hang out and relax. I can just do my thing. And then in 10 years, you know, last couple of months, I'll get myself together. But you're only kidding yourself.
You're right.
You know?
Anthony, how many times are we told that, the you know, in the parables, hey, the thief comes in the middle of the night. If the owner of the house knew when the thief was coming, he'd be ready. But you don't know when he's coming, so you just better be ready, because he's coming, and he's coming when the people, when those out there that don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, least expect him, you know. But he does send his signs, as John mentioned, you know, the abominations that we see going on all around. Now, the word says it's a wicked and perverse generation that asks for a sign, because they're not going to believe the sign when you give it to them. You can give it to them on a 4x8 sheet of plywood printed in 6-inch letters, and they won't see it. You know, they don't see the signs, but he does send his signs.
Remember, though, none of these things will take place until the great apostasy, which is a falling away, and we're witnessing that falling away.
I think that's just what Anthony's talking about. That it is.
Oh, yeah,
we are
right.
Seeing that, and this, that is the great apostasy. You know, we're not writing a newer testament.
Exactly right. Exactly.
We're living in these New Testament times, and. You know, we're fast approaching that time of revelation. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I know, you know, I think about the things that need to still come to pass that we have been revealed to us in the book of Revelation, where we still need to have the implementation of the mark of the beast, the one world, you know, government, or the false prophet and the false Christ. You know, these still have to come to pass yet before his return. So there is time, you know, before he comes back. I don't know when. Could be, you know, 20, 30, maybe 10 years for this to happen. But if a catastrophic worldwide global event does occur, you know, we can see whoever that man of sin that rises to power, claiming himself as God, you know, to deceive the world, to worship and be worshipped as God, going to be something that us as Christians might be tempted to worship and think he's Christ. I think that's where we need to, or at least for myself, or to know that, okay, well, we got to really be on guard, be in the Word, be immersed in the Word to be guarded.
And that's the only way. Absolutely. You know, that I touched base on that last night or on Thursday night, that, you know, there are those that don't know Him. But on the other hand, those that know Him, if you read the Word, if you have repentance, if you've been baptized, then you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to read through the Word and start to not fully comprehend, but understand the character of God.
Yeah.
And understand these signs of the times. And understand that, yeah, it you know, the complete end of the ages, you know, whether we make it to that or not, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so we better be ready today. You know, it may be 10 years, 10 months, 10 minutes. You know, for us, and we have to be ready. And
absolutely. And, you know, these things with the Muslims in Washington and the Judeo-Christianity, you know, this Antichrist or this man of sin or this false prophet, he's going to merge all the religions together, as he is above all this, and we're all the same, worshiping the same God. You know, if you're not worshiping Jesus Christ alone and Him alone, well, then you're done. But these are the seeds that He's planting right now. I mean, who would think at 9/11, after 9/11, that we'd have Muslims praying in the National Cathedral, in the Senate there, or that house? I watched the video. I forget where, but. You know, that they're trying to program and plant the seeds that, oh, look, we're all one. We're all serving the same God.
Those seeds are planted. Those seeds are planted.
Watch the Pope. Watch the Pope, the first Jesuit Pope. Watch exactly what he's doing. That's his goal. And if you look at how many people really believe in Catholicism and worship Mary, a lot of it's due to the apparitions that they've seen of Mary. Well, you can't tell me in today's day and age that they can't create a hologram where the idiots who do not know the Bible, who do not understand the truth, will not fall down and worship that hologram of Mary, or maybe it'll be the Pope, I don't know. But the Bible's clear that there'll be false signs in the skies. And if you look at the money that the Jesuits have put into, like, this telescope Lucifer, and, I mean, they're, by their own admittance, they're seeking for alien life forms. And they're looking to the sky for this false Christ, and to try to deceive as many as possible. And we're going to see that. I believe we'll see that in our lifetime.
And maybe God's going to send down a deceiving angel, and He's going to do it Himself. He's going to say, okay, you want this? You got it, buddy.
He's done it before.
Yeah, he's done it before.
He's done it before. That's right.
I never thought of that. That's right. He has. That's right. He could deceive everyone.
Hey, Anthony, Anthony, have you read the Revealing the Man of Sin pamphlet?
I have not, no.
You
I
need to
not.
Get that, yep.
Yeah.
Because, well, it reveals the man of sin.
I'll send for it, actually. That sounds like a good deal.
It is. It's an excellent
deal. But, yeah, it's going to be a sign, miraculous signs and wonders. Like, it's going to be a big deal. It's not going to be, like, subtle and maybe. I mean, it's going to be, like you said, whether it's technology that they have that we don't even know about, you know, behind-the-scenes technology, which who knows where that came from, demonic forces, demonic knowledge and understanding, or all this technology that we have, could be that, or like you said, maybe God. But it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be like, whoa, larger than life kind of a thing, to deceive the whole world and the elect, if possible, kind of thing. So, interesting stuff, guys, you know. But, hey, I appreciate your fellowship on Saturday morning. You guys are great, and God bless you.
All right, thank you, Anthony.
Thank
have
you,
a
Anthony.
Good day.
All right, you too.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
The war is coming.
And interesting times we're living.
This Tuesday night, I'm going to read the scriptures about how our King Jesus Christ is coming back with that army. You know, and it, you know, we all, or most people, love a good war movie, or at least they used to when I was growing up.
No, they still. I was thinking about that very thing. You know, thinking, man, there's a couple new movies out that are war movies and this kind of thing. And you're right. I think a lot of our people, not just the slaughter stuff, but they like a good war movie.
Yeah, I think so. And man, there's no better story of war coming than than some of these scriptures, you know, in Revelations and in even Matthew 25. And, I mean, our king is coming back, and he's going to have an army with him. You know, whether we're part of the army when he's coming back or whether we meet him in the sky, what, however it's going to be, and there's going to be, it's going to be a slaughterhouse.
It is.
And every knee is going to bow.
Yeah.
They're going to bow or they're going to get their head chopped off, one of the two. You know, I mean, it's going to be something, whether it's literal blood up to the
bridles
of the horses or not. I don't know. I don't know if it's always literal fire. I don't know. It really doesn't matter. What should matter is fear God
and
keep his commandments.
Right. If it's not literal, it's meant to put it across like it is.
Absolutely.
If it is figurative, it's to compare it to something that's going to burn you and destroy you.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And, you know, for those that read the Bible, that see, that have the eyes to see, you see that the Word itself tells us that he's coming back the way he left, not the way he came the first time. You know, the babe in the manger to come and save the world. That's already happened. It ain't happening again. He's not coming back to call all to repentance again. He's already done that. The call is out there for repentance, for
the door is closing.
Changing. It and is. The door, right. You know, 2,000 plus years ago, it was opened. It was written about in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and I don't think the people could understand. You know, I don't think they could back then. You know, but it had to just be a promise for the future. You know, in Isaiah, I read it the other night, or Wednesday night, it's on our Healing Scripture bookmarker. We'll be glad to send it to you. Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes we are healed. That's Old Testament. And in those times, before Christ walked the earth, in the that we read about in the Gospels, I don't think they could understand that. You know, but that new covenant's been made. That door to repentance and to coming back into a relationship with God the Father that can only happen through Jesus Christ the Son, that's happened. And we're in that right now. I don't think more is going to be added to that. You know, the word is here. The instructions are here. It's repent or perish. Simple as that. That doesn't mean marrying into my crew. It's repent or die, whatever it is. And then, you know, what we read in the Bible about that hell and brimstone that you talked about Tuesday night, Kyle, and exactly what that is, you know.
It was in Sodom.
No.
It was total destruction.
It was. You know? That's
what it compares
fire
it to.
Fire and brimstone, you know? Being rained down there. It talks about the lake of fire being the second death. No. I don't want a second death. I know this flesh and body, these flesh and bones will die. But I've already died once. And so the second
death... That destruction was so great, I think that's why God said, don't turn around.
Yeah.
And Lot's wife turned around. And, I mean, I think it's unfathomable to a human being, the destruction that God has planned.
Yeah. And it's coming. It is coming. But, you know, thankfully he did send his son, and he does have his remnant that have heard, that one from a town, two from a city, that hear, and that do not only believe, but that obey the gospel. Mm-hmm. And
well, there's a culling going on. It's been going on since the beginning.
Yeah.
God only wants those who will not bow their knee to Baal and those that proclaim no king but King Jesus. I mean,
amen.
He wants the cream of the crop, the best that there is, those that aren't going to falter.
Yep. And
we go through those tests every day of our lives.
Amen. Amen. Well, the hour's almost up, gentlemen. I want to thank you guys for getting up early and joining us. Want to sure put out our church invitation. Want to invite all of you, the remnant, to join us at church tomorrow, Sunday morning, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. And 11 a.m. Central and noon on the East Coast. And I think we've got a scriptural insight and study by Kyle lined up for tomorrow morning. And I encourage you to be there at 10 and 10 o'clock at our website, scriptures4america.org. And you can join us there. And
Got part two of the message from last week, which, as far as I know, that message last week and part two this week have never been aired, because they were recorded at when Pastor Peters was visiting was invited to speak at another ministry. So
yes, and they are,
be watching for that.
Classics, older messages, and yeah, unless you were at that camp, you haven't seen them. Now, the messages went out on the tape ministry years and years ago, but it you know, I took a page full of notes last Sunday. I don't know about you. But again, we encourage you, join us at church tomorrow. You can have, you know, bring your notepad, have your Bible ready. And, if you're wanting to learn some biblical principles, they will certainly be given. I can assure you that. I'll give you an opportunity
to bring an introduction to prepare ourselves properly for, what's coming up this week and Thanksgiving, the importance of that and the humility and the contentment and what God expects of us as Christians.
Yes. You know, I saw a quote. Somebody sent me a link, and maybe we can go out with this, but it was a quote from Noah Webster, who was an outspoken Christian, said that the religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles, which enjoins humility, piety, and benevolence, which acknowledges in every person a brother or a sister, and a citizen with equal rights. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
but they perverted it.
It's changed now. But this was Noah Webster back in the 1800s that said, "This is what Christianity is." What is it? Being neighborly. Love your neighbors yourself. Recognize that it all comes from God. And you're right; it has been perverted. But Thanksgiving, it is a true Christian holiday, if you will. Well, guys,
really the only one that the world celebrates that has meaning to a Christian.
Well, and it's just this country that celebrates it. I don't think the Chinese are getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving next week, or the Zulus,
or the Mexicans.
Yeah. You know, it is an American Christian holiday and tradition. Well, guys, thanks a lot. Thanks for joining us, Remnant. We thank you for joining us. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. See you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, stay high. Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.